It's time for your weekly dose of movie news, reviews, and the occasional rumor. Here's your host, Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele. This is Cinema Savants. And coming up in this week's show, Lee is going to interrupt me again. No, I'm just kidding. I actually haven't written an intro, but we've still got stuff to cover. Because lots of things happened this week, but none of them were frankly that big. But lots of them were little. And that's where I'll start. I'm going to start with the Scooby-Doo thing again. Because my kids have been watching the Scooby-Doo movies from the 70s again, because we watch those periodically. And there's one with the Addams Family, right? Because that's who's guesting. And I wondered who was doing the voices, if they actually got the original Addams Family to do the voices, and they did, except for Wednesday and Pugsley, because they grew up and their voices changed. Who knew? The person who did the voice for Wednesday is someone I've never heard of before. Guess who did the voice for Pugsley? Because this is just
Mike Farrell.
It could have been Mike Farrell, but it wasn't. Jodie Foster.
That's hilarious.
I'd like to be making that up, and yet I'm not. And when, once I found that out and listened to it and went, holy crap, that is Jodie Foster, who had to have been like five at the time or something, but still, very strange. Because it, you know, worked, I suppose. Something that may or may not have worked, I don't know, because I wasn't there. But Todd was. How about this Miami Film Festival you went to go see?
The Miami, well, I would have loved to have seen the entire Miami Film Festival, except I would have had to be in like six places at once. Because
You're clever enough to do that.
It's broken up into many, many screenings, which makes it fun. So I did manage to catch two films, one which I really, really enjoyed, called Grace and Splendor. It's actually a Panamanian film, which you don't see a whole lot of films from Panama, so that was kind of cool. It's basically a very light retelling of Romeo and Juliet without the death and tragedy. So it's the comic aspect of it. So, I mean, basically, you get what it's about.
Was
two
it
young kids
in
fall in love. It was not filmed in a canal, unfortunately. But it takes place during their version of Carnival, and actually, that's the climax. You know, two young kids, they fall in love, they meet cute, they don't realize they're from warring families. The thing that their families are at war over is basically a beauty pageant. And it's got all the trappings of just the ridiculous thing of, oh, I'm whoever is the queen of the city. And they basically, one family is on upstreet and the other is on downstreet. And that's literally how they call it. It's really, really funny. It's very light, very frothy. It's going to be remade. Obviously, some American producer will look at it and say, oh my God, that'll be great. And it'll be this light romantic comedy. And it'll have two young people I've never heard of because they're currently on shows in the CW. And it will make about $87 million. But they'll have shot it for 10, so it'll be a big success. So look for some version of Grace and Splendor in 2020 in English. Very fun movie, though. The other movie I saw is one that you guys probably will have a chance to see if you want. Chappaquiddick. That opens nationally next month. And it is, again, indeed, about a snowshoe survivalist who lives in Chappaquiddick.
Yeah.
Nothing, Lee? Really nothing? Anyway, yeah, it is about...
Oh, I'm sorry. I was busy. What's happening?
I was busy. Anyway, it is about the instance, and many of our listeners may not know, Ted Kennedy had a problem with his vehicle and with someone who was inside a vehicle when he went off a bridge. And did not manage to retrieve this person from the vehicle when he went off the bridge and into the water, and took about 10 hours to report the accident. And that's what it's about. It does have some new information. It was interesting, but to me it was a good movie. And I don't know how accurate this is, because I don't know who they spoke to get what Ted Kennedy's thoughts were during that time period. So, you know, how much is conjecture, how much is information from family, and I doubt that his family would be giving a lot of information.
But they talked to the car.
He appeared to be much more concerned about the consequences for his political aspirations than he was upset about the fact that one of their staffers was dead. Not that he didn't care. I mean, and I'm talking about the context of the film, not reality. But in the context of the film, yes, he was upset. Yes, he was sad about it. It had an impact on him, but it seemed to have a lot more impact on his thoughts of how am I going to handle this? And again, according to the film, he tried to do the right thing after he waited for 10 hours, but his father talked him out of it. And but it is interesting how the dynamics worked, how they made these decisions and how things went down. One of the really odd things about it to me is that both Ed Helms and Jim Gaffigan are in it, and it is not a comedy. Although I think because they're in it, the audience, when I went to see it, and there's a pretty big crowd that saw it, there were several times when the audience laughed at very inappropriate times. And I think it was because they think, oh, well, I know these guys. They're funny. And it was just kind of an odd. And maybe it's one of those things where you just have this nervous reaction. But there's a line which will definitely be in the trailers. Actually, it is in the trailer. If you ever see the trailer for Chappaquiddick, where Ted is arguing with his cousin about the whole situation. His cousin Ted wants Hicks. Him. Yes, and it was on Fox and Friends, interestingly enough. They're having the argument about what should you have done? And Kennedy says, it's like, well, you know, all these great leaders, they had flaws. You know, Moses had flaws, blah, 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 which is what a bizarre argument anyway. And his cousin says, yeah, but Moses didn't leave a body at the bottom of the Red Sea. And a lot of people laughed because it is kind of funny, and it is Ed Helms, but it's not a very funny situation at all. So it's just odd audience reaction in several points. It's a good movie. If you're not that familiar with the whole thing of Chappaquiddick, yeah, it's definitely worth seeing. But of the two, I would definitely see Grace and Splendor, which you probably will not have any chance to see unless, of course, you live in Knoxville, Tennessee, because I'm sure it'll be at Downtown West because they play lots of cool movies. So those were those two films. As far as the festival experience, there really wasn't any. They just had, because I didn't go to any of the shows or anything. It was just, these were just theaters where they had screenings. They had screenings at about half a dozen theaters all over town for 2 weeks. And all they had was a ballot box, and they handed out ballots. They're like, here you go. Mark your ballot when you come back out. Went to the later showing of Grace and Splendor, and the ballot box was gone when we came back out. So that's how much they cared. It was kind of an odd circumstance.
Missed your chance to vote.
Yes, I was quite sad. I actually left it at the ticket office, so there you go. I gave it my 4 stars, so what more can I do?
Cool.
But next year, I will make sure that I get some time off, because the thing goes on for 2 weeks, and there are literally, oh my God, about 100 films that play. So, and I,
it goes on for 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yes.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's a huge festival.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I did miss my chance to see, remember the movie we talked about a few weeks ago that had the really unusual title, Izzy Goes the Across Town?
That I saw was the playing trailer for that.
Yeah, that was playing at the festival, but it was actually playing at the same time as something else. So we chose, oh, well, wisely, I think, because that was Grace and Splendor, and that is a really fun film. So there you are.
Cool. Any Ghibli showings?
Unfortunately, there were not.
Oh.
Even though they did have a children's section, basically, of the film festival. So.
See, I ask because I sent you a link, and I don't know if you got it or not. Another Studio Ghibli thing was, I guess, unearthed this week. The music video, and I'm going to mispronounce these names, Chage and Asuka, which is probably mispronounced. Hayao Miyazaki and Studio Ghibli did a music video, which, did you watch it? Because I had seen it before, but it had been a while, and I had no idea it was actually a Ghibli thing.
I did not watch it.
Yeah. Keep an eye out for that. It's floating around the net. I think it's called On Your Mark. And it's No, you're not going to understand it unless you know Japanese. And you don't need to. Just watch it. It's quite beautiful.
I was going to say, Studio Ghibli, do you need to understand it? You just need to watch it.
No, just watch. My daughter, who's very much into Studio Ghibli stuff, watched it with me and said, you know what? I don't understand a word they're saying, but I still really like this. So, if you're a Ghibli fan, something to watch.
or if you like cool things.
Wanted to ask you guys this, because this was a complete... And now for something completely different. And no, I'll get to that part later.
Oh, damn it.
It's almost next, but not
quite. Can I interrupt you? Because I think you're about to do Harvey Weinstein. I misread this in the outline. I thought it said Weinstein cancels DNAs. And I was like, wow, is he has a...
That's impressive. And yes, that is where I'm going.
That explains how you got away with it for so long.
It's not something I entirely understand is the non-disclosure agreement stuff. The Weinstein Company announced that they're filing for bankruptcy. Duh. And canceled all of their non-disclosure agreements. Which I think means we're going to have another round of the Me Too stuff, which is fine. It's stuff that needs to come out. But there's something about non-disclosure agreements I'm missing. And hopefully you guys can help me out with this. I understand the concept of a non-disclosure agreement if, and this is a horrible example, you work for, say, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and you signed an NDA to not give away the 11 herbs and spices. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, didn't it used to be 12? I seem to recall there being commercials for 12 herbs and spices, and then apparently one was released or something, and now it's 11.
Released.
As far as I recall, it's always been 11.
Okay, maybe I'm hallucinating.
I thought it was 32 flavors. So.
50 Shades of Chicken.
Ooh,
anyway,
ew.
I get it for not giving away the 11 herbs and spices, but if something illegal happens, how exactly can you say that, no, you signed a non-disclosure agreement, you can't tell anyone we did illegal things? Is that really how that works? Because... That sounds...
I can't imagine that would be the case. I mean, even if you've...
Well, I mean, isn't that what they're saying with, like, Trump and... I keep wanting to say Christopher Daniels, and he's a professional wrestler. Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, I think that... Well, I think that's... I don't know if that's completely... I don't even know if that's actually factual with that.
Yeah, no one does.
But, I mean, it's like if you go into... if you have a psychiatrist or something and you go in and, you know, you talk to the psychiatrist and say, I'm going to kill somebody on Tuesday, even though it's, you know,
that's a doctor patient privilege thing though.
It is, but the psychiatrist still has a duty to say this, call the police and say, this guy's going to kill somebody. They can't keep that to themselves. So I imagine in this case with, I mean, if you know something illegal is going on, I think you have the greater duty. It seems like the greater duty would be to tell the truth, this is going on. I think that would preclude any kind of legal agreement with a non-disclosure agreement. Just from all my years of law school, that's what I gather from.
According to law.stackexchange.com, one of many legal sites.
StackExchange?
What can I tell you? I mean, I didn't name the damn site. But yeah, it says that various legal authorities and courts have found contracts to be void. In the circumstances of, number one, crime. Torts, so lawsuits, public safety, public health, matters of substantial public concern. So, yeah, basically it sounds like when it comes to the 11 or 12 herbs and spices, NDAs work. But as soon as a criminal activity has happened, nope. So sorry, not happening. So it is kind of odd that, to me, it's almost like... Weinstein Company is just waving another white flag and saying, okay, we're not even going to try this because we're going to try to salvage the few dollars we will have left. Although I'm sure Weinstein Harvey is not exactly broke.
No.
So I'm sure that's what it is. It's like, okay, we're just going to drop this because that'll at least maybe save some money in the coming million lawsuits that he'll be facing, justifiably so. Agreed. Gee, if only another sexual predator would drop his attempted NDA, which is comical. It's like he's been making people sign NDAs that are working for the government. And it's like, dude, that doesn't really work. That's not even remotely enforceable or legal. So, what a idiot. Anyway, back to movies, which are more fun.
Back to, yes. Yeah. I even lost myself on that. So anyway, I don't know how the hell I did that. Moving on to Netflix, which sounds like it could be a sexual predatory thing, but it's not. They've acquired something new. That would be the full catalog of Monty Python, including the Flying Circus episodes. And one thing that caught my eye in this announcement is that it might include new material. And I didn't know there was new material.
New material, like old material that's new, nobody's seen it? Because I can't see John Cleese saying, yeah, we'll do new material.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. It was not specific. It did mention, however, Eric Idle's 2012 stage production entitled Eric Idle's What About Dick? which starred Russell Brand, Billy Connolly, Jane Levy's, Tracy Ullman, Tim Curry, and Eddie Izzard. Which I might be interested in seeing, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if that counts as new material, but hey, I'll take it.
See, there's no time frame yet for the U.S. though, unfortunately. So you'll have to get a VPN so you can watch the British Netflix. Because in Great Britain, it starts on April 15th, tax day here. So we're screwed for now.
Yeah, I mean, I would be interested to see what the new material. I mean, because I personally own all the Flying Circus DVDs and the bonus footage that comes with that box set. And then I think I own all the movies as well and the bonus material that comes with. I mean, there's on the.
So you don't care about this story at all, says.
Well, no, I mean,
look, it's over there on my shelf.
It's well, I mean, it is more easily accessible instead of me having to go over and, you know, lazy bum I am and actually take it out of the packaging and put it in the Blu-ray player. I mean, I can just click on the TV and there it is. But no, I mean, it's hopefully, I mean, obviously Monty Python to me is worthy of a larger audience. So hopefully people that haven't seen Monty Python, this is a really good way of getting exposed. That doesn't sound right, but getting exposed to,
we
to money.
We can infect a new generation.
That's right.
Yeah, here we go.
That's right. Yes. Being exposed reminds me of the one skit from Flying Circus where the guy's like exposing himself, but he's not really exposing himself. No, I mean, it's hopefully for a younger audience who doesn't even know what a DVD player or Blu-ray player is. It's, you know, they would have easy access to it. Hopefully because it's, to me, Monty Python is timeless. It should be watched by, you know, just like Chaplin. It should be watched by all ages. Not three-year-olds, per se. But
if you're going down a mountainside in Seattle on a 40-mile-an-hour circular snowboard, you could actually be watching Monty Python's Flying Circus on your phone.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do with your DVD player.
And then I crash into the snow, and then I say, it's... And then...
This is just more evidence to me that Netflix will soon be ruling the planet. I mean, this is awesome news. I think that's fantastic. I don't care. Personally, Netflix can own the rights to everything. I'm fine with that. It's terrific news. I mean, it's the convenience for us who love Monty Python and can quote like half of the show, all of the shows by heart, or
everybody,
especially
along.
Like you said. but yeah, the exposure for, oh my God, here we are, that word again. Anyway, infection is better. And the infection for new audiences.
You know, avoid exposure, especially after the Weinstein story.
Yeah, we probably need to move on from this. It's just getting worse.
Okay, in that case, speaking of old stuff.
Does this look infected? Yes.
They're starting to film the Indiana Jones sequel, number 5.
Thrilling.
Next year in April for a release in, they've got a date already, July 20th, 2020. Is Harrison Ford still going to be around by then? That sounds horrible of me, but...
I think he's still... I mean, it depends on what they want him to do in the film, but I mean...
Yeah.
You know, he was the guy who always did his own stunts and got injured several times doing it. But I don't think he'll have to do that kind of stuff in this film. Hopefully he won't look. I just thought the last one, which I can't even believe came out in 2008. That's 10 years ago. I'm still not over how bad it was.
Was it?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. May 23rd, 2008. I had no idea it was that long ago. So it's going to be 12 years between the last one and the fifth one. But and hopefully it just has a better script and you don't have smaller roles trying to be like, oh, yes, it's Indiana Jones. But really, it's about.
Shia LaBeouf, not included.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, who is playing the lead? Do we even know? Because I don't really care. But
who's playing the lead?
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming, like you said, I'm assuming
Harrison Ford.
I'm assuming that this is not going to be the adventures of the 78-year-old Indiana Jones.
Well, it's actually called tentatively titled Indiana Jones and the Tricky Patch of Ice Outside the Post Office.
Nah, that I would go see. I don't know. I mean,
well, it looks like what they, according to Rotten Tomatoes, it looks like they are trying to set the time of the movie in the 60s or 70s. So it does look like they're going to, which would make sense. You know, if he's the lead and he's 77, which he will be this year, next year, something like that, and set it in the 60s or 70s. It really depends.
Do we care?
Do I care how old he is?
No, do we care that we have the adventures of the 77-year-old Indiana Jones? I mean, the character is very interesting. I mean, clearly one of the classic characters ever and classic performances because he created it. It's not the script. It's him.
True. True. But I mean, the storyline, it's just the last one was, God, that's Ant Hills. It was so horrible.
It was terrible. It was terrible. But I mean, since he can't really do a lot of those stunts and he shouldn't need to, I'm just curious what kind of a movie are we? It doesn't seem like we would be getting an Indiana Jones movie.
I heard a rumor a long time ago about the so-called fifth movie where it's going to be Harrison Ford doing a narrative and the whole movie will actually be a flashback with Chris Pratt playing Indiana Jones. I don't know how accurate that is. I have not seen
that. And that's my question, because if it's that kind of a thing, who is playing the actual lead, the person who goes through all the, and God, Shia LaBeouf, please. No.
I've actually heard Chris Pratt is attached to it, but I don't know how accurate that is.
Actually, I think it's Chris Pine and Chris Evans. They play dual roles.
It's Hardwick.
Chris Hardwick. I would watch Chris Hardwick as Indiana Jones. I don't know why. I guess just to punish myself. But I don't. Honestly, after that last one, I don't care. Even with Harrison Ford, I just don't care. Because that thing was an abomination. Holy crap. I mean, there are worse movies.
We'll talk about one later. Hang on.
Yeah, but here, there are worse movies by far, you know. But in that franchise, that's the issue. I mean, you start off with, start off with Raiders of the Lost Ark. And the next one is like, personally, I don't really care for the second film that much. So much I don't even want to say Temple of Doom, but there you go.
If we get rid of whatever the blonde girl's name was, it was a good movie.
Oh, my God. You mean Mrs. Spielberg?
Mrs. Spielberg, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
God, she's awful. Jesus. Anyway, Steve, just keep your personal life separate from business, okay?
I may be misreading this Rotten Tomatoes, but it looks like they are. It's Indiana Jones, but it's based on a script for Bob's Burgers. That doesn't sound right, but
I mean, I'm really hoping that that's wrong.
I'm hoping that's right.
Speaking of Chris's.
Chris.
Yeah. Chris
makes
story.
Me sad.
Chris Evans has said that he'd like to get off the train before they push you off when asked about whether he's going to be coming back and doing another Captain America movie after the fourth Avengers.
Yep.
So it sounds like Chris is not coming back, but who do you got? If he does in fact leave, which I suspect he will because he's getting expensive, as if everybody else isn't, who do you think would take over the role of Captain America? Because in the books, there were two variations where, you know, you had the Winter Soldier, who was Sebastian Stan, take over the role, or Falcon, Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie. Anthony Mackie.
I would rather Anthony Mackie.
I would much prefer Anthony Mackie, period, because I think he's awesome. He's got a he has tons of charisma. He's fun to watch in everything. The character is great, completely is separate from Anthony Mackie. And they also have this movie that's made a few dollars with a black lead. It just for that reason alone, even if Falcon was not an interesting character, which he is, even if Anthony Mackie was just kind of like, eh, they would be incredibly stupid not to make Captain America a gentleman of a darker skin persuasion.
I loved the idea of Anthony Mackie taking over the role. I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome. And that was long before Black Panther told him, you know what? You can make a crap load of money if you decide to have Anthony Mackie play Captain America. I mean, I'm much more interested in the, regardless of the actor, I'm much more interested in how the Falcon becomes Captain America and that storyline and what he does as Captain America, what he feels is the role compared to Bucky Barnes as Captain America. I mean, it's cool because it has its own thing, and they can probably do that down the line after they have the Falcon version for a few films, which hopefully they would do. Although by then they'd probably have to recast Bucky Barnes because Sebastian Stan will be 500 years old. But yeah, that would be a big mistake. I mean, like, Stan is he's a good, interesting actor. It's an interesting character. Has its own cool arc. But I'm much more interested in the Falcon version of Captain America. Much, much more interested.
Hey, be a lot more fun. Can I switch off for this? We were talking about Shia LaBeouf on this same Rotten Tomatoes doc. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. Rotten Tomatoes. There's a headline that says Shia LaBeouf to star in his own biopic as his dad.
Oh God!
Like, I'm not making that up. And something
I actually
like,
saw who was playing Shia LaBeouf, and I've forgotten. And I thought maybe I'll put that in the notes for this week's show, and then thought, no, it's Shia LaBeouf. No one's gonna care.
Chris Hardwick.
Lucas Hedges actually will star in Honey Boy.
Oh my
I swear
God.
To God, I'm not making this up. Honey Boy.
Yeah.
This is a young version of LaBeouf who also co-wrote the screenplay under the pseudonym of Otis Lort.
This is okay. Now that part is at least interesting. This is why I groan every time I hear this guy's name. It's like, oh, just go the hell away, dude. Oh my God, he sucks. I'm surprised he wasn't in. Never mind. We'll get to that movie later. Anyway, yes.
Yep.
Who do you think should be? I know you already said you want to see Falcon, but how strongly do you want Falcon over, or do you even want to see the role continue?
I've never particularly cared for Captain America, which makes me apparently unpatriotic or something.
You're an awful person. Hydra.
Him and Superman both have just always seemed, I'm going to go with too squeaky clean. You know, there's exactly what they're going to do because that's the way that real Americans would do it or some crap. And Chris Evans is the first person to make Captain America seem interesting to me.
Chris Evans, and I'm glad you turned it back to Chris Evans because, yeah, this really sucks. I mean, obviously he wasn't going to play Captain America forever, but yeah, he absolutely turned the character into
interesting.
Depending on how you view Marvel Comics, because a lot of people, that's the best character, you know how it goes. But
yeah,
absolutely, he made him very interesting. And I'm glad they went with the version of Captain America, basically like from the 70s, when he was questioning the whole concept of what America means. And he went back to not the government. America is not the government. America is the concept. And that's the Captain America that's the best version. And that's exactly what they went with. And Evans, man, he does an awesome job. I mean, to me, his role as Captain America is right up there with like Christopher Reeve as Superman, because that's the only Superman that's worth a flip other than the animated versions, because he managed to make Superman human. And none of the others, he's not an interesting character. He doesn't have interesting thoughts. You know exactly what he's going to do unless he snaps somebody's neck, because, you know, what the hell? When Zack Snyder's involved, God knows what Superman's going to do other than be stupid and do terrible things. But yeah, he just has so much charisma, and he embodies the role, which is
Can I bring up that? Because amazing. You brought up the Superman killing Zod thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. It made sense at the in that movie that because that's the only way he could stop him from killing other people. But a lot of people got upset when they said, oh, Superman doesn't kill. Never.
Is it really the only way he could stop him? Couldn't he have just put his hand over his eyes and block the rays?
Let me bring this up, because people say, no, Superman doesn't kill, but he did in this movie, and that's just wrong. Let's go back to the last time Zod was in a movie, which was with the Christopher Reeves thing. Superman 2 tricked him into going into the Fortress of Solitude, stole his powers, punched him in the face, knocked him off a cliff, and killed him. Now, which one is really a more... There's the he's going to kill someone else, so I have to kill him. I get that. And then there's the I've stolen his powers, I think I'll kill him now. Superman.
But it's Christopher Reeve. He's fun.
And... that's just something that bugs the crap out of me.
Well, to me, the whole thing about him killing Zod was because it was the easy way out. And it wasn't I don't think it was so much a choice as like, well, this is the only thing I can do. And it's like, why would Superman be forced into something the only thing I can do? It's like Superman has more powerful than being forced to do, I have to do this thing.
Well, it's equally powered person.
And he's smarter in most versions, except he's not in this. I mean, this is one of the reasons Justice League sucked.
Well, it didn't suck, but it wasn't anywhere near as good as it should have been.
We'll get to Justice League,
and another movie that sucks. Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Ready Player One. Was written the screenplay was written by Zach Penn, who is now attached to The Matrix, and how he wants to bring The Matrix back, and it's not going to be a reboot. It's going to be part four apparently, or possibly part five, because he says he considers Ready Player One, the virtual reality they have in that, to be a very early version of The Matrix. So The Matrix and Ready Player One could be part of the same universe if it weren't for that pesky "we're in 1999" thing that they brought up.
That's just a selling point for Ready Player One. Yeah. And I think The Matrix should have stopped after one.
I'll agree.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I loved the action sequence in two. I just didn't like the story that went with it.
Yeah, the car chase would have been nice. They could have just filmed that and was like, we're going to release this and you'll be entertained for 20 minutes instead of bored for the other 2 hours.
Right.
Ready Player One, I really enjoyed the book. I mean, like we mentioned it before, that it's like, it's just a light pop culture thing. It's a beach read. It's nothing deep or meaningful, but it's a lot of fun. So I was really looking forward to the movie, and I was reading an article this morning. Uh-oh. That says that they changed one key concept that in the book...
Yeah, they got rid of all the Rush references.
Oh, well, they changed a second key concept. In the book, everything is from the 80s, because that's the person who created the Oasis was a big fan of the 80s. So all the pop culture references are from the 80s. Well, in the movie, they updated it because, why restrict yourself when you don't have to? Which makes sense. I get that. But they did make a very interesting point. Apparently, pop culture stopped in 2017. So here you are in the future in 2049 or 2.0 whatever year it is, sometime in the 2040s. And there is no future pop culture reference to things that haven't happened yet. As they mentioned, I think Matrix Babies or something like that, which would have been some horrible TV show that they came up with as a concept. And so, and it does make you think, it's like, okay, so this guy apparently was a fan of pop culture up until a certain point, but they don't even address it in the film. Like if they had just said, well, he went into a coma in 2017 and this is why all the pop culture, it's just, so it just kind of like sits there. It's like, that's kind of weird. I don't know. I have less interest in it now. I mean, I'm definitely going to go see it, cause I still want to see the Iron Giant running around, but As I said, my daughter told me last week, if you want to see the Iron Giant, just watch the Iron Giant. Then you don't have to watch this, which is true. So
I will be going. We watch movies on Friday. You don't have to.
I will be there Friday night watching Ready Player One.
On a twin bed?
What's on a twin bed?
On a twin bed?
That would be awesome if they actually had that in the movie
cool.
theater.
That'd be cool. That's the next step.
That
instead
is.
Of,
yeah.
Instead of viewing pods, they just line the theater with twin beds.
It's a breakfast in bed. It's a new concept.
Waffles. Chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
Chicken and waffles. Your ticket is $80, but it does include the chicken and waffles.
Meanwhile.
Poor Rob.
Wow. Can I say that? So, again, I just want to say, you know, taking out the Rush references really, really makes the movie much better for me. I'm totally joking.
Yeah, I'm moving on. Somewhere between all the references in Ready Player One and when The Matrix happened, there were the Spice Girls. I bring this up for a reason.
I'm glad.
They're reuniting to make an animated superhero movie.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I heard about that. That's right. I didn't know it was animated, though. I thought it was just another movie. I didn't know it was an anime.
No, it's allegedly going to be animated. They're shopping it around for potential production partners.
Warners will do it. They'll do anything stupid.
Yeah, they'll make it part of the DC universe. Do we need this? I understand making a girl powered theme animated superhero movie because that's popular now. Fine. Do we need to use the Spice Girls to do it?
No, but okay. I don't think we ever needed the Spice Girls. Spice Girls.
Quite true.
And it sounds weird when I say it out loud.
Spicy girl.
I mean, Spice World is a phenomenal film. Really.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
It's very strange that I pulled up the Spice Girls story, and one of the ads along the side is the official trailer for Chappaquiddick.
There you go. That ties in perfectly.
Wow. Okay, moving on to casting news. I suppose good. I loved the way this story was phrased. People are really enjoying Matt Ryan's Constantine being on DC's Legends of Tomorrow. So much so that, and this is the way the story is phrased, he will be a regular on Legends of Tomorrow if the series is renewed for a fourth season.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not sure that's exactly the way it should be phrased. That just, I don't know, struck me as funny. Cagney and Lacey, which I've brought up a few times, not that I actually cared about it, but they keep coming up with some interesting casting news. This week, the police chief for the Cagney and Lacey show is going to be has been cast as Ving Rhames, who I wouldn't have expected to see on TV again.
That's cool.
Oh, that's sad. Well, his career's really gone downhill.
That's what I was thinking, unfortunately. But
that's still cool. That makes me want to watch it. I'll watch it just for him being angry at them.
That's what I was thinking as well. That could
only
be cool.
Only if he plays the role like Marcellus Wallace.
Oh, let's see.
And he calls them both Butch.
Butches. I just wanted to say F Pride to them. Yeah.
Right. Pride. F Pride. And then there's Men in Black 4. And we knew that Chris Hemsworth was going to be one of the Men in Black in the new movie. The other one is not so much a man as it is a woman. Because apparently Tessa Thompson, who played Valkyrie in the last Thor movie, is going to be his partner. Any thoughts on that?
No.
My only thoughts are if the script is like Men in Black 3... That's cool. If it's like Men in Black 2, then it's not cool. Men in Black 3 was fun, although the main reason it was fun is because James Brolin decided to become Tommy Lee Jones somehow, and that was awesome. That was easily by far the best part of Men in Black 3. And since he won't be doing that for this one, he'll be busy destroying half the universe with a snap of his fingers,
What? Yeah. You don't want Johnny Knoxville in a movie?
Johnny Knoxville in Action Point, which I saw a trailer for, which is, wow, that movie looks... Well, it's Johnny Knoxville, so you know what it looks like.
Great. You know,
in a similar vein, I saw a trailer for Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Mm. And I thought, I know why they made this. One is for the money.
I was going to say.
And the second reason is because people got fired from Teen Titans Go and needed somewhere else to work.
There you go.
Now we know. That's where they went. At least that's where it looks. And it looks just as horrible as I just made it sound.
I was going to say, surely they had the... Well, I guess they haven't killed off that franchise yet. They certainly appear to be trying, though.
They keep trying to, and... Little pricks just won't die. All right. So.
I just got Joaquin Phoenix in my head. I simply won't die. I feel like I should watch Gladiator today, just based on that.
So,
yeah.
I was thinking of taking our motto, we watch movies so you don't have to, and applying it to trailers. And watched a trailer for a movie called Tag that's coming out.
I saw that trailer.
I wasn't expecting to think that it might be good. The premise is that there's a group of friends who have been playing the same game of tag for, what, 30 years?
30 years.
And they keep running into each other and over the years, and ooh, tag, and doing some very obnoxious things, really. Jeremy Renner plays the one guy who has never been it. So apparently 1 year they decide we're going to have to get him. Now, this sounds like a really stupid concept until I read one thing in this, which made me go, wait, really? Mm-hmm. And that was based on a true story. True story.
Yep.
And it has John Hamm.
It has John Hamm.
Has John.
And Isla Ed Fisher.
Jake Johnson. And
Yeah, it actually has a really good cast. It looks in the trailers, you never know, because that could be, oh, we managed to film two funny minutes and here it is, and it's all in the trailer. But it actually, I mean, it's incredibly stupid, but it actually looks really fun, mainly because it looks like they had fun doing it. And how could you not have fun making a movie about adults playing tag? Probably won't be at the Oscars, you know.
Presenters. Well, they might be there, but they won't be nominated for anything.
But this just looks like a silly, fun movie. And again, if a movie does what it's supposed to do, then they did a good job. And this just, I mean, looks incredibly stupid and silly, but it just looks really funny in an extremely dumb way. The way that adults actually playing tag for 30 years would be fun and makes me want to do that. Makes me sad I didn't do that 30 years ago.
Film opens June 15th, apparently. Which, you know, there was a movie that opened this week. I think it was this week.
Was it?
And I have not seen anything good about this movie, including what I suspect Todd's about to say about it. The best quote I've found so far about this movie is, the actual flesh and blood characters are so paper thin and the story's plot holes are big enough to cartwheel a Jaeger through. That's right. Pacific Rim Uprising. Todd?
Took
one for the team.
Yeah, I actually didn't take one for the team. I was anticipating this since I stopped watching the closing credits of Pacific Rim. I've been really looking forward to this. I thought, it's not a deep movie by any means. And I'm talking about the first one, Pacific Rim. But it's really, really fun. Movie. Yeah, exactly. And it's a great popcorn movie. Super fun. What could be better than giant monsters with giant robots fighting them? Turns out, when you're talking about the sequel, a root canal could be better. And this fits in with the theme of the Indiana Jones fourth abomination. And it wasn't that was the most awful film ever. It's just in comparison to what came before it. And no, I'm not saying Pacific Rim is remotely as good as Raiders of the Lost Ark. But it's just, you start off, you know, the bar is pretty high. ah, that was a fun movie. That was awesome. And you go into this movie where the best parts are the clips they show of the first movie in the first 2 minutes, you have a problem. They'd gone through, I think, at least three scripts in one case because Charlie had backed out at the last minute. He had other obligations, and probably he saw the script and thought, oh my God, I'm not doing this wisely. So they kept rewriting, and then they made a big deal. It's like, oh, someone had the great idea. It's like, why don't we bring in Stacker Pentecost's son that no one knew he had, because that wasn't in the first movie. And, you know, that's okay. That's not the problem. And they bring in John Boyega, and he is excellent with what he's given. Problem is, he's not given a whole lot. He gives this one wonderful, stupendous, rousing speech after just telling everyone, my dad would give this wonderful, rousing speech and get you guys fired up, but I'm not my dad. And then, of course, he gives this big, rousing speech. And then the screenwriters step all over it by having him say, are you with me? And they, yeah, are you with me? Aren't you? So he just repeats this typical military bullshit. Are you with me? It's like, well, if after you give that kind of a speech, you don't have to ask if they're with you. You know they are. And he just constantly, he says it like three times. Which,
are you with me? Well, yeah, I'm right here, Steve.
Let's, yeah, we're here. We're ready to go. It's just, it's awful.
That's my hand on your shoulder. Yeah, I'm with you.
The script is awful. They do have a big fight, but it's with one Jaeger versus another Jaeger. And it makes sense as the movie goes along. But it's just not the same thing as a Jaeger fighting a monster. The monsters don't even show up until, I think, 40, 45 minutes into the movie. And, you know, they're interesting, but there's nothing cool and shocking and wow, I've never seen that kind of thing before like there was in the first movie. They're just, oh, okay, it's the same kind of stuff. There are three holdovers from the first movie. One of them is killed pretty quickly, which sucks. And the other two, which were really interesting and fun, they're not that interesting and not that fun in this version. It's just such a steaming pile of kaiju crap. You know, and if this had been the first movie, it'd be, oh, okay, that was kind of cool. That's all right. But it's a really, really bad stale popcorn movie. It's the stale popcorn that you find underneath your seat from the previous screening of the movie.
Stuck to the floor.
The popcorn movie. Yeah, it's just bad. It's just really, really bad. And again, it's not the actor's fault. Big, he's good with what he's given. Scott Eastwood is the co-lead, and I realized at one point, because I didn't even know that was him until I was like, wow, that looks a lot like Clint Eastwood. Oh my God, that's Scott Eastwood. And he's good, with what he's given, but damn, would have been nice if they'd actually had a script. A classic instance of, you know what, if the script's not working, stop trying to force it. Maybe come back in another 2 or 3 years when someone has actually done something worth a flip. I'm kind of shocked that Guillermo del Toro even put his name on as a producer, because I mean, judging on this, I don't think he bothered watching any of it.
The Shape of Jaeger.
Oh my God. I mean, this is just so unlike his movies.
Although it could be better if you had some Jaeger before you actually went in to see the film, right?
So, where did that
term come from, by the way?
Jaeger?
Yeah.
Jaegermeister. It's a liqueur.
Not that one.
Yeah, I don't know why they went with player for the names of the names of the giant robots. I don't know. It's just, God, this movie's bad. And the fact that this is the movie that's going to knock Black Panther off the top of the heap really
the pedestal.
Yeah, really pisses me off. Oh, apparently it's going to. I mean, it's because it's, even though it's has a very underwhelming opening, like 26 million is what.
Oh, that's all 10 million on Friday.
That's what. So. Yeah, that's what they're expecting, around 26
for the
total.
Weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awful.
It only cost $700 billion to make.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrible. But I mean, Black Panther at this point seems like it's been out since 1987. So eventually something was going to knock it off.
I think that was when it was supposed to have come out in the first place.
Yeah.
With Wesley Snipes wanted to do it, but they kept saying no. No one will follow. No one would buy it.
So back to more fun news. Yeah, Black Panther actually is now the highest grossing Marvel movie ever. The domestic box office, which is incredible. 630 million. I mean, that's just sick. That's amazing. Still amazes me that that movie has done that well. What is it, at 1.2 billion worldwide?
1.211.
I mean, that's just, that is just so cool. Makes me happy.
Yeah. I'm hoping Sherlock Gnomes gets there as well. I don't have high
hopes. Yeah, I don't think it will. Which gets me, makes, brings me back to Justice League, because the worst performing movie of Warner's movies. It's not even in their top 30 all time for the studio domestic movies. This was their version of the Avengers, and wow, that's pretty pitiful. And what's sad is that this is actually, it's not a bad movie. It's an okay movie, but because crap like Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad put such a bad taste in people's gut that it's like, no, I can't deal with this.
A bad taste in people's gut. That's disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's beyond just a bad taste in your mouth. I mean, that just like sticks with you.
I didn't think Justice League was great, but I thought it was entertaining. I mean, there's some things lacking. I don't really like the whole Superman dead and Lazarus. But it's, I mean, I still thought it was entertaining.
Yeah, I thought it was an okay movie. It's not, but you know, compared to Marvel movie, it sucks.
It's not that it, well, that's just, it doesn't, I don't think it sucked. I just don't, I think the problem with it was that these are characters that everyone grew up with. And so we set expectations for it.
Exactly.
And it did not get there.
Expectations, I mean, that were reinforced by virtually any episode of the animated version of Justice League or Justice League Unlimited, or almost any of their animated films. Carol. Yeah. that's the problem. We've been talking about it the whole show, is the expectations. You know, if Justice League had been the first movie, it's like, hey, that was pretty cool. That was good. You know, it's not that it's bad. It's just that, wow, this needed to be better. This needed to be, you know, the Dark Knight, instead of the Dark Knight being the Dark Knight. And it's nothing close to that.
Maybe we should have gotten Studio Ghibli to do it.
They should have gotten anybody. It's like Warner Brothers at this point. Really, why have you just not given a call to Bruce Timm and Paul Dini and said, would you please save us from ourselves, instead of, oh, now we have a new team running the division. I mean, they've gone through like three studio heads for the DC division now, right? In three movies.
I get Geoff Johns being one of the people in charge, because he's one of the guys for DC who makes the characters to begin with. And he's actually doing a pretty good job with the books. It's just for some reason they're not using those stories on the screen, which makes no sense.
Yeah, it's really weird, and it really sucks, because it would be really nice to look forward to a DC movie again. And, you know, Wonder Woman.
They released a logo for Shazam.
Well, that's
and yet I can't bring myself to care about going to see that at all.
You know, like New Gods. We were talking about that last week. It's like, oh, we're doing it. Really? New Gods? That's what you're going with?
The only character out of that that I've ever cared about is Darkseid.
Right. And when a major comic book fan doesn't really care that much about the franchise, why are you doing this? And why are you giving it to someone who just proved that she really does not play well with special effects movies? It's like, man, what is the British series? A series of
unfortunate events?
No, not what? Unfortunate events, of bad decisions.
Ah.
My God. It's really, really sad when you see what Marvel has done and what DC has managed not to do. Like, oh, we'll have a hit.
Marvel took characters that people only peripherally were aware of and turned them into major blockbusters, as opposed to DC, who took characters that everyone knows and loves and didn't.
Yeah, it's just an incredible job of mismanagement. I mean, holy crap.
Behold the ineptness.
Of course, that could be part of it, too. I mean, just from kind of more of an outsider's point of view, you expect more from, like, Justice League, whereas the other ones you don't know as well, there's lesser expectations for what the movie should be.
Yeah, and that's definitely true. But the fact that they have managed to do it, like they managed to do it with Wonder Woman, which I mean, to me doesn't hold up to like the best of the Marvel movies. But for the DC movies, after Christopher Nolan, and which is weird because he's an executive producer on this stuff, and the same thing as with Del Toro for Pacific Rim Uprising. It's like, dude, were you just like signing off on blank check form so you could sign your check? But it's hard to see how he was really involved
to this movie.
Yeah. Or, and it could simply be this like, well, okay, we'll have his name on there so it looks good, but we're not actually going to listen to anything he says, because if he said anything, they clearly didn't listen to it. Because, man, even The Dark Knight Rises is worlds better than most of the stuff that DC has put out with the Zack Snyder brand. It's really, really weird and really, really disappointing.
Still didn't care for Dark Knight Rises, though.
Yeah, and that's I mean, I liked it, but to me, it fits in kind of like the Justice League thing. It's like, yeah, it could have been better. There's some key things they could have done that would have made it better.
My whole thing about that movie was, okay, you're driving around town with a bomb in a truck, and no one can catch up with the truck. Where's the rest of the DC universe? Because there's like, what, 5 Flashes, 2 Supermen, and a Supergirl, and a Martian Manhunter, and what, 5 Green Lanterns now?
Yeah, but it was
at some point they could have stepped in and gone, all right, the bomb is there, let me get rid of that for you.
But it wasn't part of the DC universe back then, because it wasn't part of the whole thing. But, and then they brought it in. Well, yeah, it should have been, but it wasn't. And, yeah, DC just makes some god-awful decisions. And I wish they would stop making god-awful decisions. And saying, oh, we're going to do the New Gods doesn't give me a whole lot of hope that they've figured anything out.
Maybe they're going for Marvel's obscureness of character market.
Yeah. Well, that's true. There are virtually no expectations to live up to for the casual fan. That's absolutely true. Very,
and
very
unfortunate.
Weird.
Unfortunate. Okay, so I think we've run out of stuff for this week, though. New stuff.
Old stuff. New stuff. Old stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, at least next week, at least two of us are going to see Ready Player One, so we can debate, or not debate. Maybe we'll have the same, maybe we'll like it, maybe we'll dislike it. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I'm just braced for the, hey, Rob, they didn't need the Rush references.
They had Depeche Mode. Why would you need Rush?
I hope we're in this.
One of them has musical talent, and one of them.
Your favorite band ever is I know, Depeche Mode. That's why they went with the wise choice.
Next week will be so fun.
I am going to cut Lee out of the opening credits next week.
I hope we are endlessly gushing about how wonderful this film is. That would be fun. It's a lot more fun to talk about how much you loved a movie instead of, man.
Next week's episode will be considerably more cheerful.
Which, by the way, if you guys haven't used Ultra Cloud or HD Movies, things like that, you know, where you can buy the digital codes that people don't need from their Blu-rays, right now, if you go to Ultra Cloud, blah, 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 just Google it, you can get Daddy's Home for 95 cents. 95 cents that I will not spend because I have no interest in seeing that movie.
Actually,
I'd rather have the pack of gum.
Can I shoot, I don't remember the name of the movie. So I, on one of the 2 airplane flights that lasted 5 hours this week, I did see, crap, and I'm trying to remember, it was actually nominated for Best Animated Film.
Oh, The Wedding Ringer.
The what?
Coco?
No, it was actually, it's a movie about Vincent Van Gogh. It's Loving Vincent.
Yeah. Loving Vincent.
It was really impressive the way I did watch that on the plane, and it was really, really, I would have much had rather seen it on a bigger screen, even though it's right in front of my face. But extremely impressive the way they, because everything's hand drawn for the film, mm-hmm. Not by Van Gogh. That would be weird, but
hand painted.
Yeah, I think there's like 180 different artists they use, but the way they did it and the way they were able to.
Oh, it looks like an oil painting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a Van Gogh painting. It looks like different.
The whole thing is painted, oil paintings. Yeah,
definitely worth checking out Loving Vincent. Excellent, really excellent film.
That's what I was hoping to hear, like, other than, because the technique is really cool, but I haven't So the movie itself is really...
Yeah, I mean, they don't really pull... I mean, you see him, not him cutting off his ear, but him giving the ear to...
Ew, gross.
Yeah.
And cool.
I mean, it's not like, oh, this is, we're going to make this movie called Loving Vincent and make just Van Gogh. But it's actually has a good storyline and it's got depth to it.
Awesome.
So really worth seeing.
Loving Vincent. It's always nice to close with something happy.
Positive note.
A guy handing his ear to somebody.
That is Here's a positive my ear. Note. That's a positive note.
It's just the voices were done by the RZA and the GZA. It was really, really oddly.
And Mike Farrell.
Mike Farrell.
So before we get too far off from wherever the hell we were, I think I'm going to end the show.
Too late.
I suspect we can get it worse, and I don't want us to. Come back next week when we're more coherent, or something like that. Good night, everybody.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
And coming up in this week's show...
So anyway, hey, by the way, I just wanted to do that one time.
Okay.
I've just been waiting like weeks to just totally interrupt you when you started that.
So. Okay.
I will now be quiet.
Well, that's okay. I don't really have much of an intro. I'm making it up as I go along.
Thanks, Indy.
Darn, that's the end.